Welcome everybody to the Intimacy Life Stuff.
Oh. Hi.
Hello. Gosh, I started off, I'm like ready to go. All right, everybody, welcome to the Intimacy Mindset, a married couple's guide to going from I can't to I can.
And, you know, it's one of those things where this is such a big topic and we're going to have a lot of fun digging deep into this today. And in some respects, it's going to be a little mind-blowing because it was mind-blowing for the two of us. But we know that a lot of you that are jumping on with us today, this may be your first time that you've ever even met Tony Robinson. You're like, mm-hmm. Okay, great. Who are you guys? And you know, what are we doing here tonight?
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that we tell you a little bit about us first, because we haven't always done this intimacy mindset thing well.
Yeah.
In fact, there was many, many years where it was not so well.
Yeah. So I'm Tony. Obviously, this is my beautiful wife, Lisa. We've been co-hosts of the One Extraordinary Marriage Show for 9 years now. That's how we started on this marriage adventure and this journey for ourselves. We have just been truly blessed over these last 9 years to have what we now call the One Family. That's you guys. If it wasn't for you guys, there wouldn't be One Extraordinary Marriage. And so we've been truly blessed to share our lives, your stories, your hugs with thousands and thousands of people around the world. And it's truly an honor. When we look at what we're doing now, though, 9 years later, it's much different than what it was when we first started. When we first started, this was a hobby. This was something that we wanted to do to change one marriage. That was our goal all the time. Whenever we got behind the microphone, whenever we were doing, we wanted to change and impact one marriage. Now that's changed a little bit. We still get behind these microphones. And even today with this workshop, we're behind here because we want to impact your marriage, and that's one marriage. The bigger vision, though, for One Extraordinary Marriage is that we want to decrease the divorce rate by the year 2030. So that's big. That's huge. It's a lot of vision. And by doing a workshop like this, or getting behind our microphones each and every week, talking about topics from sex to emotional intimacy to finances to spiritual intimacy, it allows us to impact families and marriages. The way we do that is we bring many of you have written into us over the years and have said, because you talked about this topic or you said this, you've given me hope again in my marriage. So we are always here about hope. Secondly, we're about relationships. Marriage is one of the most intimate relationships we can have, right? It should be the most intimate relationship we have with another person here on earth, obviously because we have sex with them, and that is the most intimate act we can have. From our standpoint here at One Extraordinary Marriage, we want to have a relationship with you. Because at the end of the day, we are blessed to be behind this screen. But for like James and Mel, who have come to the One Conference, or those of you who are going to see us in North Carolina here shortly, us being out there is being able to hug you and talk to you. And we're going to be doing more of those because we want to continue to build those relationships. Third, we love to take action. It's all about action. What we're doing here today, we're not going to just talk to you and just say, hey, that's good, let's roll. We give you resources. We want those to be in your hand because we want to resource you so you can take action. Because at the end of the day, we can grab all this stuff, but if we're not doing anything, we're not moving anywhere, our marriages are going to be in the same place they were. And that's not what it's about.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm actually going to throw you just a slight curveball because we don't often get a chance to do this when we're doing workshops. We do it on the One Extraordinary Marriage Show. So if you've ever listened to us, you know that we actually start that show with a hug from a listener. And no joke, you guys, about 45 minutes ago, I was just on Instagram, checking our Instagram, and we actually got a hug that could not be more appropriate for today's workshop.
Yeah,
and so I'm actually going to start. So I am looking at Instagram right now, but only so I can read you the hug.
Should I do our fourth one, though, and then you do that
I'm
one?
Sorry.
Yeah, let me just do our fourth one. And our fourth one is faith. Everything we do, we wrap it around it. And so we believe that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and we are empowered to speak truth into people's lives, and we will do that no matter what. Some people may not hear, you may not be a religious person. That's totally okay. We've been called to impact marriages. That is just what we see us being able to do to impact lives here with what we have at work today.
Absolutely. And so that hug that I want to share. It starts with thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for everything you guys have done for my marriage in such a short period of time. I found your podcast in November of 2018, so somewhere around 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And And my wife and I feel like newlyweds again. We have had more sex in the last couple of months than we've had in 2018, and all of 2018 combined. That's huge for us. We're in a season where we have three little ones running around, ranging from 8 to 4 years old, and sex for us was far and few in between. Not anymore. How appropriate is this for the intimacy mindset? Because we've had the 7 days of sex challenge, it led us to a 30 days of sex challenge. I'm a new man because of it. As a stay-at-home dad for almost 9 years, I had so much on my plate and do so much around the house. I didn't think I could do any more, but having this new emotional connection with my wife, I find myself doing so much more for her and making sure she's happy and taken care of. I've made it a priority to wake up earlier to make her breakfast and her lunch before she leaves for a 10-hour day. Plus, we live in New York and it's cold, so I go outside every morning to warm up her car so she has a nice, warm, toasty car to ride in. I'm so incredibly happy we found you guys. We look forward to listening to more of the One Extraordinary Marriage resources because it's been working wonders in our marriage. Thanks again. A very happy, in more ways than one, husband.
Right on. And that's a hug that you guys get to hear. You're probably going to hear it on the show, upcoming show. I mean, wow. Love it, love it, love it. So are we ready, you guys? Give us a thumbs up, say a yes, and we're gonna start going through the sessions. Let me share a little bit how we're doing it. We have all of our sessions. We'll be going through it again. If you have questions, put it in the Q&A. We want to hear from you guys. Let it be known. This is your workshop. This is for you. So if there's something gnawing on your head, ask it. Let's do it. Let's go, Lisa.
Well, I want to first just give us an overview of what we're going to be doing today, because I know a lot of people can be like, okay, you know, it's like you go to an in-person workshop and you get your agenda. And well, here we are online. We're still going to give you an agenda. Let you know what's going on. You know, first and foremost, know that we're going to cover a lot of stuff. And some of it we are, because we're talking about mindset. We are going to go into some scientific stuff. I promise you, it's not too complicated. I made it so that Tony and I could understand it. So we're not like, you know, neurons and, you know, crazy, very detailed scientific. But enough so that you're going to have those aha moments that make you go, oh, that makes sense about my husband or about my wife. We're going to be talking about where that I can't voice shows up, the I can or the I won't, and how to be aware of that so that you can then, you know, I like to say, so that you can arrest that guy and, you know, put him under lock. And how to make that shift so that when you arrest the I can't, you can then replace it with the I can. And then really move into that place of empowerment with the vision, with the planners, things like that, so that we can equip you. You know, Tony mentioned just a couple of minutes ago that one of our core values is action. And we don't ever want to get behind the microphone, make a recording, do anything for the one family that doesn't involve action, because it is a belief of ours that if you want to see a shift in your marriage, if you want to see something change, you have to actually take action to create that change. You don't wait for it to happen. You don't wait to feel like you want to. You actually get involved in the process to create change.
Yeah, I love it.
You love it. Well, he loves it. So I hope you all love it. Because we're going to jump right into talking about the brain. And as we do this, I want you to know that this workshop really has been 2 decades in the making. And the reason I say that is because Tony and I have been married for 22 years, which means that we've spent a lot of time getting this wrong and also getting it right. Specifically around, I think, the first decade of our marriage, we really did not have an intimacy mindset.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I'm thinking back to those years and when we were putting this together, really thinking about the first 10 years, did I have a mindset that was like, I can do that for Elisa? And I would say the majority of those 10 years was an absolute no. No, not at all.
On both sides.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, there were things that would come up like I won't do that position. Absolutely not. Or I won't try, you know, lubricant, or I won't try having sex with my eyes open. I remember the first time somebody in the one family sex with the eyes open, and I'm like, but that's just crazy. I won't do that. You know, or things like I can't get out of my comfort zone, right? Maybe you've said that. Like, that just makes me feel uncomfortable, and I absolutely won't do that. Or, you know, things that are outside the bedroom, right? Like, I don't want to pay attention to the finances. I don't want to know what's going on there. I can't handle money. I, you know, and so you have all of these thoughts.
And this is going both ways too. And Elisa is saying that it wasn't just her side of the story. This was also my side, saying those same things, maybe at different times, and looking at each other and just throwing our hands up in the air and just like, I can't, I won't, it's not worth it. You know, putting that messaging out there constantly in our marriage.
And because these phrases and so many more, I mean, maybe some of you are even thinking right now, and I'm not going to ask, because I'm not going to put anybody on the hot seat, but maybe you've heard these phrases or other ones like it. Something that starts with "I can't" or "I won't" in your marriage, and it just becomes that roadblock. And because we've experienced this in our own marriage, we have such a passion for helping couples experience breakthrough around this, because those are like brick walls. Or, you know, like if you ever think of, you know, the high speed car chases, we are in California, we have a fair share of high speed car chases here. They will put out those strips, yeah, right? That all of a sudden they're like the spikes in the road, and it's just this abrupt, like, you know, somebody might be going 90 down the freeway, but then the strip comes up, "I can't" or "I won't," and it just puts a halt on everything going on in terms of the connection.
Yeah, and I want to say that this can come up in different ways and in different forms. You may be sailing along, having worked on a ton of areas in your marriage, overcoming these "I can't" and "I won't," and then come upon a season where it may just out of nowhere come up and derail you a little bit. And we're here to tell you that that derailment isn't something that you're stuck on forever. Mm-hmm. It's something that you jump off of real quickly because you've worked on so many areas. And we've even seen this happen in our lives. You know, we can do the 60 days of sex challenge, and yet there are times after that, and we did that 11 years ago now, there are times even after that where the "I can't" and "I won't" would end up, you know, getting back into our bedroom. And we had to nip those in the bud and say, no, that isn't going to happen. What are we going to do to shift?
So I am going to ask a general question. Okay. And I'm going to make an assumption on the answer, but I'd love to just see a yes or "I have." How many of you have ever said "I can't" or "I won't" to your spouse?
Right? And you can throw that up in the chat if you've said "I can't" or "I won't," or what's the other good one?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So if you've ever said any one of those, I'm not asking you to fill in around what you said. Just let me know.
Yeah.
If, okay, good. I'm not alone, or yes, Tony's not alone. Okay,
yep.
Thank you. Love it. And it's interesting because these phrases really, you know, they come out of our thoughts and out of our brain, and everything's so intricately linked. And I just want to say, we are going to be making some generalities here, mm-hmm, about male and female brains. And I know from having worked with couples for, 7-8 years now, mm-hmm, that I can make generalities, but not everybody falls into that. I'm just putting that caveat at the beginning here so that if you're like, "Well, that's not me," that's okay. Just take the information and process it. Hi, Alicia, hello. We see you. We see Liz and Tom, all of you jumping in. Awesome.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make that caveat because I know sometimes I get a wife who will say, "Well, I've got more of a male brain," or a husband. I feel like I tend more towards the emotional side. But we're going to be talking about some of what goes on in the brain, mm-hmm, because it's important to know how amazing our brains are. Not just our brains, but the hormones and stuff that are in them. And this is where we get into a little bit of the science, but bear with me because I'm telling you, even us figuring this out has been kind of revolutionary.
Yeah.
And we only figured this out to prepare for all of you as we started thinking, are we going to do this in terms of mindset? So the first thing I want to talk about is just the differences between his brain and her brain and what that looks like.
Yep.
So men's brains actually have more connections that go like from the front to the back.
Like, for us guys, we're going this way.
Right. And that allows them to do a lot of processing around spatial skills, motor skills, things like that. So if you think about it, you know, so often men are referred to as being fixers.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's literally the way their brain is processing information because they're absorbing the information in order to be able to take action. Right. That's why, ladies, sometimes when you have a conversation with your husband, whether we're talking about sexual intimacy, financial intimacy, or whatever, he's got a solution.
Because our brain is going from front to back, and it's just going back and forth this way. And we're trying to find that solution and fix the issue.
Right. So, ladies, now you know that about your husband. Men, now you know that about yourself. Part of this is just the way that God created you. Right? And it helps to think, like I was sharing this with a coaching client today, like it's kind of like connect the dots, right? For men, their connect the dots goes in a straight line, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Women have like the connect the dot book that has like the circle, or it makes like the Empire State Building. And so we need to know that about each other. So that's his brain. Her brain, and if you think about it too, You know, it's like men are like bowling. Women, on the other hand, have these connections that jump from side to side, hemisphere to hemisphere, so left to right. Women, it's kind of like a pinball effect. And guys, if you've ever had a conversation with your wife and you're wondering, how were we over here a second ago and now we're over here, like, where did that happen? She can do pinball with her thoughts. They can jump from, you know, logic to intuition and back and forth again. And so she's making these connections. It's actually synthesizing a lot of different insights, right? So he's like spatial and motor skills, and he's, you know, more of linear. She's, you know, intuition and logic and all these things are popping around. And, you know, a lot of you have heard that expression, you know, with women being able to process like spaghetti and men, you know, men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti, right? Lots of boxes versus all over the place. And, you know, for the women, being able to synthesize all that information is why she often wants stories and experience.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about that and how that all comes together. But what's interesting is we look at the brain, too, are where the biggest gaps. And there have been a lot of studies. I was looking at research coming out of Stanford specifically that talks about some of the biggest gaps between the sexes are the amount of gray matter that they have in particular areas of their brain. So for women, it's the hippocampus where they have more gray matter. And that is the structure that plays a role in memory. So guys.
And what's gray matter?
Gray matter is like the actual like tissue in there.
I'm just
explaining.
Like,
yeah.
So and those are questions, guys. If there's something that Elisa or I say, just even that, like what's gray matter?
It's the actual tissue.
By all means.
If you think of looking at like an x-ray, the gray matter is the actual stuff that you see. It's the gray matter.
The gray matter.
Yeah. But interesting. So women have more of that in this area called the hippocampus. And that, like I said, that plays a role in memory and also in this structure called the left caudate, which is thought to have greater influence over communication skills. Mm-hmm. So memory and communication, she's got more stuff going on there. And then the man's amygdala, which is associated with experiencing emotion, tends to be, and processing experience actually tends to be bigger. So if you think about intense emotions in your men, like anger and pleasure, it's the amygdala playing a role in that, which is just, to me, like I heard this and I thought about the pinball and the bowling analogies, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, right? This is why when we start getting into all this brain stuff and why are you different than me, we start digging into this. And there was a study in 2014 about the University of Pennsylvania, and they looked at almost 1,000 brains, about half male and female.
Okay.
And, you know, a huge study to look at brains in and of itself, but that the female brains consistently showed more strongly coordinated activity between the hemispheres, where the men's brain activity was more tightly coordinated within specific regions. So again, you've got localized versus generalized, and how does that play out in what the two of you are doing? Just structure. Oh, thank you for saying the science stuff. I'm really excited to.
Isn't it? I mean, we're going deep in this area because we could have gone just real quick, like into the mindset and what you can do. And yet, as we began preparing for this a good while ago, we really wanted to bring you guys an understanding of the brain. And we may be going a bit quick through this. I mean, we have so much time with you. We don't want to spend an hour just talking about the brain. So please, by all means, make sure you listen again if we miss some stuff, or even do some more of your own study. But here's what I began to find that was just absolutely interesting. So so often, we talk about our marriages, and yet we forget that our brain is one of the most powerful organs, one of the most powerful things we have that no other species has on Earth. We have this amazing organ. Well, and
can I say that other species have brains?
Yes,
but it's our ability to think.
Right, think and all that. Yes, but then we take that brain, and our spouse has theirs, and we're trying to meld that all together. And we have the two different sides of it. And Lisa's going to go even to more about how those brains are formed.
Well, because it's not just the actual structure; it's the fact that, you know, there's all these hormones running around our body, right? That influence the brain and what it's doing. And, you know, hormone input, hormone input actually starts literally in the womb, in utero, right? Because mid gestation, you know, all of a sudden you have, specifically for boys, this huge influx of testosterone, right? That's what separates the boys and the girls. And, you know, women, we've got all of the estrogen and progesterone floating around. Men, you have testosterone and androgens floating around. And we're dealing with all of this. Now, you know, that's in utero. It shows up again in puberty, right, where there's this other great influx. And, you know, the thing with that is that if you have teenagers or you've been around teenagers or you remember being a teenager, you know that there were times when it seems like the teenage brain is short-circuiting. We have two teenagers in our house. There are days when we're just like, why is the brain not functioning here? Well, again, there's a flood of hormones. And interestingly enough, this came up in conversation with us today, is we have all of these, you know, flood of hormones and impacting the structures and whatnot. But then as we're preparing for this workshop, we start having the conversation about what happens on the other side. When those hormones start decreasing, whether it's because of high stress, whether it's because of menopause, whether it's because of low testosterone. And interestingly enough, when you make those comments like, I don't understand why you're like this, right? Why can't you be more like this? Well, some of that is just because of the impact of the hormones on your brain structure. It leads to, you know, it can lead to depression, it can lead to confusion. Brain fog is a real thing if the hormones are messing with you. So it's looking at all of these different things. Part of what we have to embrace as we're looking to create, going the shift from I can't to I can, is not being victim to our biology, but understanding that biology is a factor in who we are, and looking at it and saying, okay, well, if it's possible that my biology is doing this, then what do I need to do to counteract the biology, right? If you need to go see a doctor because your hormones are low, then go see a doctor. Don't keep living in the brain fog, right? Don't keep just putting it off and having this disconnect between you and your spouse. Get into that place where you're like, you know what? Something's going on up there. I'm going to go get checked out.
Yeah. And an understanding, though, that there are those stages where there's a flood of hormones. And for those of us, I mean, just, you know, as you guys were saying, how long you've been married. I mean, we've been married 22 years. There's the couple that's 33, 18, we saw 24. To me, that means we are a little older, right? So what's happening? Menopause is possibly upon you. Those are impacting our women. Is there stress? Even for those of you who are younger, stress in itself can impact our brain and our ability to have that intimacy mindset.
Absolutely. And so, you know, as we start to move into like the voices and the I can't, specifically when that shows up, just be even thinking about having the conversation with your spouse, like all of the science stuff. Tell me what you think about it. How do you think that you're more wired? You know, do you tend to be that more linear thinker when it comes to our sexual intimacy? Do I need to be more specific with you because you're just connecting the dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a line, or are you, you know, pinballing back and forth? And so I need to be thinking in terms of creative experiences and how to connect with you using, you know, kind of both sides, or that linear and the experiential, right? And it's one of those things. I used this analogy in a conversation with Tony a few weeks ago where I said, you know, I wouldn't think of going to France. Native English speaker here. I don't speak a word of French, but I wouldn't think of going to France without having some ability to at least get the basics, right? I may not go to France being a fluent French speaker, but I wouldn't think of going there without even being able to say, you know, like, where's the bathroom, right? So why is it that in our marriages, when it comes to intimacy and things like that, that we don't even attempt to understand the language that our spouse is speaking, right? And so that's even part of the mindset. Like, am I willing, right? And that's a question to ask yourself. Am I willing to learn, you know, those words that I need to get by with my spouse, right? Am I willing to learn what's going on inside their head to better understand them so that I can better understand what this looks like?
And hopefully just giving this brief overview of the brain will help you do that. That's just, you know, a simple overview of what's happening. And yet it's enough that most married folks don't even understand. They don't even realize it, or maybe they've gotten a little bit of it, but haven't really dug into it deeper. So Hi, I think you guys were saying something about the audio when we were looking at each other. Is that better? I moved the microphone. Is that sounding better for everybody? I just want to make sure for you guys.
And we're aware of it, so we'll look more at the microphone than each other.
Yeah. So if you want to say yes, that's cool. We're gonna jump into the next section here.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
So as we're moving from the brain, like we know where all these thoughts are coming from, we know where the, you know, what's running around inside of there in terms of all those hormones and whatnot, but we need to talk about this I can't voice. Like when and where this bad boy shows up, mm-hmm. right? Because the truth of the matter is, and this is not like, you know, I'm calling anybody out, we all have those voices in our head, right? Those little ones that say, I don't want to do that, or I can't do that, or I won't do that, or, you know, this is not a good time, or all of those types of things. And they don't necessarily speak out loud. Sometimes we do to our spouse. Like the first time that Tony asked me to do the 60 Days of Sex Challenge, and I said, I absolutely will not do that.
Mm-hmm.
that was a big I won't in our marriage. Yep. But being aware of those voices actually starts to, is the precursor to creating the shift in the marriage. And it's so important to know when and where that voice shows up, because so much of our life, guys, if you really think about it, so much of our life is done sleepwalking, right? Like we may be awake, but we're just going through the motions. We're not necessarily paying attention to our spouses. We're not paying attention to our reactions to them. We're just, you know, like I heard somebody say earlier today on a coaching call, they were talking about the fact that they're very concerned about having like a Groundhog Day marriage.
Wow.
Where they just do the same thing every day. And you know, most of the time it's good. And every once in a while there's a hiccup, or every once in a while it's, you know, extra good. But for the most part, day in and day out, it's the same. And half of the matter is that I think that was really us for the first 11 years. And truth be told, I think there are still times that we can lapse into that.
Oh, most definitely. There are definitely times when we will be humming along and then something just begins to tweak. Mm-hmm. And we get into that little rut. I just remember a really good friend of mine talking about ruts, and the ruts that we get into is that, you know, if we're going across a road and it's a dirt road and we go along that same path every day, be it dry, snowy, rainy weather, it begins to have there's grooves. Well, early on the groove is only so thick, and we can get out of that pretty easy. Like if we needed to, we could just turn our steering wheel, we're gonna just jump right out of that. What ends up happening, though, if we allow the rut to continue, it could be, you know, here's my other hand, two feet. And to get out of that rut, and I think any of us who've driven long enough and have been in one of those, that's a lot harder to get out of. And I think he gave me that analogy, and it just spoke so much to me about our marriage and marriages in general. We allow, if we get out of that rut quicker, we're able to then correct what we've been doing incorrectly.
Absolutely, because when you're in that sleepwalking mode, you can be going and going and going, and that rut's getting deeper and deeper, and then all of a sudden one day you know you wake up, or you have that really uncomfortable conversation with your spouse, and it's the, you know, how did we get here moment? How did this rut get so deep, and what do we do now to, like, how much effort is it going to take to pull us out of that rut? Right. And so if we can equip you to be, you know, noticing the ruts when they're really shallow, and you can course correct a lot faster, your marriage is going to become even stronger and more correctable because of it.
And so as we're talking about the intimacy mindset, right? So you're going to be thinking right now, like, okay, where are those ruts that I'm in my marriage right now? When it could be sex. And sex, let's also open this up. When we talk about sex, there are many different facets of sex, right? It could be from the romancing phase. It could be we're in a sexual rut from our position standpoint. We're in a sexual rut from just not being able to express our desires. Like, we've gone to just such a place. So make sure you're thinking about that as we're talking to the different areas. So when we do get into the meat and the action steps of the intimacy mindset, you can look at each one of those. And for you, those may be different. Again, off the top of my head, I'm just thinking like romance, position. I want to say like even like lube, mm-hmm.
I was going to say frequency.
Frequency could be another one. And so there, that's that overarching word of sexual intimacy. What are the different areas within that, that we're going to have to begin changing our mindset from an I can't, when my husband or my wife asks to do something. Guys, this is as much to you as well. And this is something I'm working on even right now. Like, romancing your wife is key. And if you continue to tell yourself, I can't romance her, then there's going to be a disconnect when you get into the bedroom when she says, I can't do a new position. So even myself, I'm constantly working on it and telling myself that I can. I am a romancer. I can romance Elisa. Allowing myself to hear that, as I've said many a times on the show, for those of you who are newer, I had a very bad image, not a bad image, but I had an incorrect image of Elisa and who she was as my wife. I grew up with pornography. I had an 18-year addiction to pornography. And yet, after even I stopped, I had to make a change. And I remember vividly one moment where God said I needed to begin speaking life over Elisa and calling her my beautiful wife, Elisa. And you'll hear it in every show. I'll say, you know, my name is Tony DeLorenzo, your co-host with my beautiful wife, Elisa. And the reason that has seriously changed my brain, it has rewired my brain to see the beauty in Elisa, not just the physical beauty, but the beauty overall. And it's amazing what has happened, because I've had women can walk by me and I don't see them. I see the beauty of Elisa. And that has because my mind has worked and rewired my brain.
Okay. And it doesn't just impact.
Does that, I mean, are you guys following me though when I say sex is the big piece? But we got to look at those different areas of our sexual intimacy where we've been having that I can't attitude or I won't attitude.
And I want to say just something along the lines of that too, is that obviously this workshop is primarily focused around your sexual intimacy. Mm-hmm. But the intimacy mindset, and for those of you that have been around for a little while, you know that when we talk about intimacy, we're not just talking sexual intimacy. It could be talking about your emotional intimacy, your financial, recreational, spiritual, and sexual.
Yep. Intellectual.
Intellectual. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so take what you're learning today and know that you can apply it to any of the intimacy, right? It might take some tweaking around a particular topic, but just know that this is a baseline foundation. We're bringing it around the sexual intimacy because it becomes very tangible for couples, because the I can't and the I won't, they show up a lot.
And then just take what we're saying. And even as you're going through this, maybe sexual intimacy isn't the big one. Maybe the big one for you is financial intimacy. Continue to take what we're talking about and apply it to your financial intimacy or your emotional intimacy, the communication piece. That might be a big one, just as we were talking about the brain, just knowing that, hey, wives, your guy is going from front to back, and this is how he's processing. Guys, husbands, now you understand when your wife is going like this, you know, she's going from here to here to here. It's because she's, honestly, her brain is going back forth from left to right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, as we start figuring out where this voice comes in, right? And I, for the purposes of this workshop, I refer to it as either Negative Nelly or Negative Nick. I apologize in advance if that is your name. I just needed an
I don't know if we have any Nellies or Nicks.
I haven't seen any, but just in case, this was not an impact on anybody.
We weren't picking anybody out.
Right. But nope. I needed two end names.
Yes.
The first part is you got to know when and where this voice shows up. And the reason why is because you can't take control of something. You can't exercise power over something if you don't know about it, if you aren't aware of it, right? And so you have to start thinking about, when does that voice show up? When are you most likely to either in your head, which comes out in your body language, or out of your mouth, make those I can't or I won't statements? I mean, does it happen when you're tired or overwhelmed or stressed? Does it happen when you're not spending enough time together? Maybe you aren't doing your coffee breaks, or you've just stopped being physical with one another, mm-hmm. right? Does it happen when you aren't having enough of your just own alone time for self-care, right? And you know, this played out today.
Can I say something here too as well? This is really about you. A lot of, and here's the thing too in marriage, a lot of times we hear something like this and our first reaction is, I know when my wife's doing that. I know when she says that, you know, or I know when he won't help me out here. And that's easy. It's so easy for us to point at our spouse. Believe me, we've done it enough in our own marriage. And there are still times when it comes up. And we have to realize, folks, we are in this marriage, and yet we are still responsible for ourselves. We have the power to change our I can to I can't. That's about you. And last year, our whole year, so if you're a new listener, go back to the beginning of 2018. It was all about what can I do? So this is about you in this moment of where is your I can't coming up? Where is your I won't or I wouldn't do that? That this is all about you in this moment, not your spouse.
And you know, so because of that, there was actually, I had a coaching call earlier today, and I've never used this example before, which is why I think it was actually, it came up in the coaching session because I was supposed to deliver it to all of you. You know, so often when there's a struggle around sexual intimacy, it can feel like a tug of war, right? It can feel like, you know, in this case, Tony's on one side, you know, I've got the rope, he's got the rope, and we're just, you know, back and forth, and I'm trying to pull him my way, and he's trying to pull me his way, you know, come on, do this. And I'm like, no, you do it my way. And so it's this tug of war. And so I was looking at this couple, and I was literally watching, you know, front to back brain processing and side to side brain, like literally in real time. And I realized they were doing this tug of war thing. And I looked at them and I said, hold on, timeout. Which if you've ever been on a coaching call with me, you know that I'm okay using timeout. I said, I go, what's the real problem here? Because ideally the two of you are on the same side and you're pulling against whatever it is that's trying to connect, create the disconnect between the two of you. That's your adversary, right? If it's lack of time together, if it's being tired, if it's being stressed, that's your adversary. The two of you have got to team up and be on the same side to bring this intimacy mindset into your marriage. So, you know, what I suggested to this couple, and I actually am going to start, you're going to be hearing this probably quite a bit.
And then we're going to suggest it to you right now.
Exactly. Get a rope, you know, a length of rope, enough so that you can put a knot in the middle and two knots on either side. And when the two of you are starting to have struggles, whether it's around your sexual intimacy or any of the other intimacies, figure out if you're on opposite sides of that rope or if the two of you are trying to pull together on the same side of the rope and pull yourself together against whatever the opposition is. These are the types of things, you guys, like.
And it's a visual. It helps us to remember something. I mean, as you guys know, it's so good to have something out there that just like takes you to a place where you can just say, hold on, I'm over here, you're over there. You see the rope and you're like, that's not where we're supposed to be. Like, and being able to calm yourself down, take a step back, take a deep breath and look at your spouse and say, you know what, that rope represents something. And right now we're on opposite sides of each other. And I'm just bringing it up because you know it as well. We're on opposite sides. We need to figure out what the actual problem is and get on that same team together, which we've shared many a time. Have that hashtag of your team, Team DiLorenzo, team whatever your last name is. Have it there for you guys.
I'm just curious. Obviously, a lot of you said that you've used I can't or I won't. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm not going to ask you when, but I am curious as I was going through that list of, you know, tired, stressed, feeling disconnected, feeling overwhelmed. I'm curious as to which one of those most resonated with you. So if you can just put that in the chat, you know, is it when you're tired? Is it when you're stressed? Is it when the kids are like screaming all day long? I remember those days. Yeah. They did not lead to a lot of sexual intimacy. Is it when you haven't done a coffee break in a while? Is it when touch has been, you know, non-existent? So share that in the chat because I just kind of want to get a feel for what's going on behind the marriages here. Because the fact of the matter is that knowing what's behind the I can't is going to allow you to be proactive in your marriage. Okay, so we've got tired popping in from Tom. Thank you, Tom, for sharing that with us. Tired, overwhelmed, stressed, and we haven't connected emotionally. So this awareness piece, actually tired, it's amazing what fatigue can do to a marriage.
Yeah.
No joke, we experienced it the last 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It was not good.
It's not.
Tired.
Yeah. Disconnection. Yeah.
Awesome, okay. You guys. Thank you so much. Because, and here's what I appreciate about all of you that put both husband and wife.
Yeah.
Is that knowledge. Okay. So we see stress, depressed, postpartum depression. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
That knowledge about what impacts your spouse right? Tony said this is about us first and foremost, right? Of saying, you know, what is it that I need to be aware of? But what is it that I need to be aware of in my spouse, right? Because if we know what those things are, then we actually have the ability to create an environment where maybe I can't eliminate the I can or I won't, but I can impact Tony's environment by having knowledge. Yeah. And Tony's exceptionally good at this, you guys, to the point where, you know, he'll just pick up around the house. I know that my piles, if you've listened to the show, you know that my piles are not conducive to romance in our marriage. But instead of saying, like he used to, I can or I won't,
yeah,
which you used to say a lot.
I used to, yeah. I just get frustrated. I won't pick up your
mess. I won't
mess.
Pick up after you.
Yep.
I can't pick up after
you. I can't, yeah.
Maybe he didn't do the head bob. Maybe that's just me. But he switched that mindset around this because he was aware that, like, that was stress for me, but I couldn't always take care of it. And so he's just like, I'm just going to clean up, right? I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to do the laundry, not because I want to. Who wants to do the laundry and the dishes? But because that will minimize Elisa's stress. Right. And for me, I know that physical touch is a big thing for Tony. It's why you see me touch him so often during our workshop, because that continuous physical connection, I don't always get this right. I used to say, I can't. I used to say, I won't. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm like, you do not need to be touched. Come on. You're not, you know, I probably even went so far as to say, you're not a baby. Right. And so to get to that place where I'm like, you know what? If he's told me he needs touch, then he just needs touch. Even if it's not my language, I'm going to speak French. I'm going to speak Tony's French,
yeah,
to be able to communicate with him.
Yeah. And again, it's that rewiring of the mind when we do these things. Mm-hmm. It's the mind and the brain are two different pieces too. Let me make that clear. The mind can actually, what we put our mind to, and we're going to be talking about a lot of this in the action parts here, but what we put our minds to can actually rewire our brain. And that's the crazy thing. That's why when you can change that verbiage you're using from I can, it actually, the more and more you say it, the brain begins to rewire. And it's truly amazing, studies that have been done where they've taken this and they've seen the impact that it's had on the brain just by doing that.
Well, and Tony used the beautiful wife example a few minutes ago. And I will tell you, I never considered myself to be a beautiful woman. And the reality is that for the last 7 years of the podcast, at least once a week, I have heard my husband call me a beautiful wife. And to the point where here I am, not gonna lie, I'm 44 years old. And I will walk by a mirror and I will be like, wow, you look really good. I don't care if anybody else thinks I look good, right? It's just because I've heard it so often that I've actually been able to internalize it. So not only has that word shifted how Tony sees me, it's shifted how I see me. And we're going to be talking a little bit later on about the power of words, but that's such a tangible example. And you just brought it up. I wanted to share it.
And some other folks said menopause, husband doesn't have a I won't.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome, yes, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's great. And then last one says, uncomfortable to talk about
not communicating. Okay.
Okay.
And so those are all, you know, again, it's that awareness piece. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be, the one family does not want to be a group of people that are sleepwalking through this thing called marriage.
Mm-hmm. Right?
It's why you all are here. You're like, there's something that I want to see shift in my marriage. We don't want to be sleepwalking. And so, you know, getting to this place where you're being aware of the shift. When we had it the other day, we were doing an IG story and we were talking about the 7 days of sex challenge, and Tony was sharing how he just didn't feel like we had enough romance going on. We were having a couple of days, we were struggling for a couple of days.
Day three. So the first day was awesome. The next 2 days were struggle. Like
not good.
We were sliding into home plate at like 11:30 at night. And to me, that's a no-go. That's very tough.
We did it.
We did.
But it was more like the I can't, I won't, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And so day four, I'm like, okay, this man needs more romance. I'm gonna take the lead on this. I'm gonna create a different environment. I was completely proactive, but that was knowing what my husband needed to shift his mindset and taking some of that responsibility on me. And granted, he still had to participate, so this wasn't all Elisa.
Yeah.
But I had the ability to create a different environment where we could connect and move into we both want to.
Yeah.
not an I won't or I can't or it's not working. And it's, the truth of the matter is it's going to look different for different couples.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, you totally all have is. Given us a list and it's different for each one of you. And that's where doing a workshop like this actually empowers you to say, okay, what is it for me and how, what do I need to see shift in my environment to help me shift from I can't to I can. Mm-hmm. And so we're now going to like actually get into that shift. Right, of looking at the power of those words, because when it comes to intimacy, so often like the early years of marriage, right, are I can or I will, right? It's like it's the rainbows and unicorns, you know, it's everything's good and we smile and of course. And then we start flying into these routines, right? Like Tony said earlier, the deeper and deeper and deeper rut. Right. Yeah. And the rainbows fly off and the unicorns stop showing up and the communication stops and the resentments build and all this stuff. And then we start getting into these really reactive responses. Right. Where we're just like, absolutely not. No, I'm not going to. Can't. I won't. I don't want to.
And Elisa said for the male brain, there's the expression and the pleasure. And so I think for many guys and myself included, we get frustrated. We get exasperated. Exasperated. There we go. I love that word, but I can't say it. And we get flustered. And that frustration, because we have the expression side of us, leaves us feeling just alone, maybe. We've said words, we've done something that separated us from our spouse. I've been there, and it's sitting down at my chair reading a book, and I'm only having a book in my hand because I don't want to make eye contact with Elisa. And that impacts how I then have to re-engage her so that we can move forward.
And I want to say that I can or I won't, it really is being in that reflexive response, right? It's not reflective, right? Because we get to this place where we're just saying those words and we're not stopping to think, what is the impact of me saying this to my spouse? What is the impact of them hearing some form of the word no? And the research on the word no is actually pretty interesting, you know, just as we're talking about shifting into I can, because no is one of the first words that we hear. It's one of the first words that we understand. Some of the research out there, I just want to make sure I get this age right, that babies as young as 6 months can have an understanding of the word no.
6 months.
That means for most of your life, you've understood what that word means. Mm. And if you're a parent, I don't know how many of you have kids, but if you're a parent, you think of all the times that you have reflexively said the word no. Can I have this? No. Can I go here? No. Can I do this? No. Like we just say
we do it.
No.
We do it.
I have 2 teenagers in my house. I say no a lot. And I don't invite solutions either. Right? I'm just like, no, it's not going to happen. And that no that we were raised with and that understanding started when we were, I don't know, somewhere between 6 and 12 months old, that actually carries into our marriages. And so the I can't, the I won't, the no starts to become a reflexive response that we expect. Right? And it creates the cycle of rejection. Part of the reason we need to shift from the I can't to the I can is that we actually have to break that cycle of rejection. And we know how painful rejection, we've actually done 2 big shows around rejection, number 432, End of Rejection, and 295, The No Rejection Zone. And we did those shows and we're doing this workshop because there are so many studies out there that indicate that the emotional cost of rejection is the same as physical pain.
And I will have to say, as we look at the intimacy mindset around our sexual intimacy, how long were you told sex is bad? Mm. Maybe from a parent. With that mindset you brought into your marriage. Even for those of you who've been married 3 years or 33 years, have you thought about that? Because that impacts what our parents said, what somebody who we trusted said that, hey, sex is bad. And we hear this a lot, and that messaging is, well, now I'm supposed to be married to my spouse and it's supposed to be all good. And yet we're still holding on to that messaging from so long ago that we've never let it go. And we're still struggling in our sexual intimacy. And so it's time to release that. Because what I will tell you, and something that we tell our kids all the time when it comes to sex, is sex is beautiful when it is within that marriage union. And that's what you guys are. You're married. You're with your spouse. It's beautiful. Sexual intimacy is an amazing thing that you get to do with your spouse. And yet, you may still be hanging on to with your mom or your dad or your aunt or your grandma or a mentor or
church,
a pastor, whatever said sex is bad, sex is dirty, sex is gross. And we got to look into that. And you have to look into that to realize how much that is holding you back to being able to experience the sexual intimacy you want to have with your spouse.
And there's a comment that came up in the chat. It said, what about victims of rape and childhood molestation? And to that, what I would say is, if you haven't already, absolutely do get help.
Yes.
I'm not going to, because of the weight of those two particular scenarios there, I don't want to, those are very unique, and each victim has their own story. And so I know that we wouldn't be able to do justice to it here in this workshop. That is, you most definitely need to get help around those, and you need to know that healing is possible, right? You can still have a healthy sexual intimacy with your spouse, even having walked through those devastating life experiences. So that doesn't, rape, childhood molestation does not predestine you to always have horrible sexual intimacy. There's a lot of work that can be done to create a healthy mindset around sex, even with that.
And what I want to say is, any of you, if you've gone through something like this, if you've gone through an abusive relationship, rape, child molestation, anything like this, seek out a therapist, seek out a counselor. You need to release all of that that is impacting you.
Mm-hmm.
There may be groups where you're at, workshops that go really deep into this, but you have to begin the healing process. And here's something I would say as well. Interview these people. Mm-hmm. Find out who they are. Do a consultation call with them. Don't just walk in there thinking that they're the greatest, and maybe they're not. Maybe just because they're on your insurance, and yet they could care less. So this is your life. And I would say it is vital that you do get some recommendation. Do ask them if you could do just an interview of them. Ask questions, appropriate questions that you want answered. So that way you can determine if this is somebody you want to work with. Think of it for many of you who are managers or owners of businesses or anything of that nature. You're going to interview a new employee. You want to make sure they're going to be the right fit for you, right? In your business, in that situation, under you, in a church setting, wherever it may be. A therapist, a counselor, they work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you want to make sure you're interviewing them so that they are going to do the work that you need to heal and get help. And our hearts honestly go out to folks who have gone through this.
Mm-hmm.
Having been around long enough, we see this almost on a daily basis.
And one of the things I would say, just closing around that particular question, is this is where you need to start telling yourself that you can have a healthy sexual
life.
And the mindset shift that happens here is, I'm not going to be a victim for the rest of my life. I'm not going to give away my power to whoever this other person was. I have the ability to reclaim my power and to reclaim a healthy sexual intimacy. So this actually, as I was listening to you, mm-hmm. just really probably in no better way actually identifies how powerful mindset is,
mm-hmm.
right? That you don't have to be a victim to this, and you don't have to be stuck in this place where I can or I won't is your default. Whether we're talking about something as weighty as that, or I just don't want to try a new position, right? Because when you're in this I can't, I won't tug of war, I want to go back to that tug of war image, you're really telling your spouse, you know what, I'm not interested in you, right? I'm not open, I don't want to find solutions, I'm happy to just battle with you. And instead, when you make the decision that you're going to say, I can or I will, and it is a decision, folks, There's no magic fairy dust. There's no wand that, you know, this workshop sprinkles all over you. This is a decision that you make, that you're going to approach your interactions with your spouse differently. And it's a way to break that cycle of rejection, mm-hmm. because I bet if I asked any of you, and I'm not going to, but I'm just going to put it out there in the recording, if I asked you if this cycle was costing your marriage, if the I can't or I won't cycle is costing you connection with your spouse, I bet every single one of you would say yes in some way, shape, or form. It's cost us.
Yeah.
For sure, it's cost us.
Yeah.
And so making that choice to say I can or I will, it's unbelievably powerful. Because in that moment, you say, I'm on your team. Right? We're going to figure this out. We're going to come up with a way to honor our marriage. We're going to engage together around this particular area, whether it's, you know, sexual intimacy or financial intimacy or spiritual. I mean, we've talked about some of the others, but it's saying, when I made those vows to you, when I said, you know, I do to everything, I really did mean I do to everything, not just the good parts version. Mm-hmm. I can is the I do lived out every day in your marriage.
Yeah,
absolutely. So let's talk about where we said I can in our own marriage.
Right. All right, you guys, we've been going at it. I just want to get a little heads up, like, where are you guys at? Mm-hmm. You can go to chat if it's just sort of like, wow, this is amazing. Or, you know what, I'm getting a little lost on something. If it's a question that you want answered, please put that in the Q&A, because we'd love to make sure that we're answering these questions for you guys. And if we need to, you know, expand a little bit, we're here for you. If you want to expand on a little bit of what's where you're at in your own marriage, you can put that in the Q&A so everybody won't see it. We'll see it, and we can answer those as well. We still got a lot to go. I wouldn't say a lot, but we still have a ton here that we want to cover, and we want to make sure we're answering those questions for you guys. Are we good, you guys? Are you guys digging this? I want to make sure. This is one of the hardest things, I'll tell you, for doing the online stuff. That's why you got to come and see us at a one conference, because I love seeing your faces, and I can smile. Right. And I can make eye contact with you guys. And I love that, because I love seeing you guys leaning in and getting excited, and you're clapping. And so that always helps us, you know.
You need me to clap for you?
No, I don't need you to clap. Okay. So let's keep on going here. Okay, wait, hold on.
Oh, we are keeping up. Awesome.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you, De La Rosa. Appreciate that. So making that shift from I can't to I can. I mean, I mentioned mm-hmm. earlier here in the workshop that we got a thumbs up from Tom and Vicky. Awesome. That one of the most, I think for us, significant places where I said I can't or I won't was to the 60 days of sex shop.
Right? I would say sex overall.
Well, sex overall, but like the 60 days of sex challenge.
Prior to doing the 60 days of sex challenge, I would say sex overall. Yeah. And then yes, the I won't.
That was
that was the axe coming down, for sure. That was a rough day mm-hmm. or night.
And so literally within 24 hours, though, those thoughts were arrested, because I call it my come to Jesus moment, where I was like literally standing in my garage with a basket full of laundry, about to fold the laundry, and had this thought that went through my head that said, if you're not willing to try, your marriage is over. He's not asking you to do anything crazy. He just wants to have sex with you. And I'm like, that is true. I mean, I still think it's a little crazy. And so he came home that day and I said yes. And for those of you that don't know our story, we actually ended up completing 40 out of 60 dates.
Yeah.
And thank you, Robert, for saying so good. Thank you for addressing the issues. I misspoke earlier about having an I can't. I was saying me as the husband. I that's okay. Now showing romance all the time is the one I need to work on. We're going to be talking
about
that.
Okay.
Hang in there with us.
Thanks for the clarity.
Another place where we got to saying I can, I mentioned it earlier with Tony, is, you know, Tony got to a point where instead of being so resistant about picking up after his wife.
Well, I wouldn't say it was just after my wife. I had a very, I had a perception of marriage that I worked, which she was working, Elisa was working as well. This is prior to kids, but I worked, and so why would I have to clean anything? It was Elisa's job to do all of that. Part of that was modeled to me growing up. Yeah. Although my mom worked as well, she was still home and she did most of the cooking, the laundry. My dad wasn't around when I grew up much. He would actually only be home on Saturdays and Sundays. And even then, I wouldn't see my dad much. And so that was pretty much all the way through my elementary and most of my junior high years. My dad was out. He was in construction, and the market made, because of where the work was, he and his brothers would be working, you know, 3-4 hours away from where I grew up. So that's what I saw. And I came into this marriage with a very, I can't make dinner, I can't pick up after you, I can't work around the house or do anything around the house because that is your job.
Yeah, needless to say, we shifted that mindset 22 years later.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, it's been less than 22 years
but
ago.
I'm just saying,
but it was me having to realize the impact that was having on Lisa. Mm-hmm. And how was I gonna share my mindset to the, I can do this. Like, it doesn't, for me, it wasn't a, like, it decreases my manhood. It's not like I'm turning in my man card or anything. I looked at it as going, wow, my wife is stressed. Wow, my wife is tired. She is raising 2 kids now. I think I need to start changing how I'm acting towards her so that way she can have some time freed up for her own self.
Mm-hmm. Some other areas that experienced a shift in our own marriage was, you know, I very much, when we first got married, thought sex was pretty much, not pretty much, I thought sex was missionary style at night, in the dark, somewhere after 9 o'clock. Like, that was just my, like, this is how we're having sex. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, guys, where I got that mindset. But that was very much the early years of our marriage.
So anything outside of that was an I can't. Believe me, I tried multiple times, you know, let's do this or let's do that or let's try this. And all of that became an I can't, I won't do that.
And so when we embarked on the 60 Days of Sex Challenge, and I'm not saying that's how you have to shift from your I can't to your I can't, I'm just giving you a framework.
Yeah.
That's where we got into new positions. That's where we got into using different, you know, having sex in different rooms of the house. That's where, you know, we started looking at what does our sexual intimacy look like? What are we willing to try? Like, we needed lubrication during that time. So, you know, I better be open to it because otherwise sex was going to be painful, right? And so that was a whole, like, literally door opening into our sexual intimacy. Yeah.
And with that, though, came the emotional intimacy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the physical act, but the emotional. Like, times before where we'd say, well, we don't have time to talk right now, or mm-hmm. we can't talk right now, or this isn't the best time to talk. We began to realize that the wording around our emotional intimacy, because that's a big one, right? We come up with excuses. Oh, I don't have time to talk to you right now. As we're looking at our phone, doing nothing. You know, I can't go into that topic right now. Or, you know, we'll put up these barriers in our emotional intimacy that we need to start going, you know what? I can put down my phone and talk to you because you're right here in front of me, and that's way more important than what I'm looking at on the screen. Believe me, we come up against that. Elisa, I think, has done something great, and I totally respect it and honor it. If she starts talking to me and something happens on my phone and I pick it up, she stops talking. You better believe me, it's a very clear indication to me of going, like, I just put up the I can't talk to you, and I need to put this down because I can talk to you.
Mm-hmm. And a big part of that shift is creating these safe spaces where you can have the conversations, where you can have mm-hmm. the physical connection, where you can create experiences together.
Yeah.
and have self-control over your emotions. Because part of the reason why these connections don't happen and why we get stuck in the I can't is because it's not necessarily safe for us to be able to share our emotions. And so we have to really work to get into that place where we are taking the I can't, we're making them I can't because we've got this environment, because we've got this safe space. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that so often this I can't comes out of our reaction instead of thinking about what we're going to do and how we're going to say it and the implications of our words. And really what I found in working with couples and what we've learned over all these years of the One Extraordinary Marriage show is that so often that happens because we don't have a vision,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't have a vision for what our marriage is going to look like. We don't have a vision for what our intimacy is going to look like. We don't have a vision for our thoughts. We put vision statements into place, and what you guys can't see is here in our office when we record these workshops, we actually have 2 visions, one over there and one over there. about what we're doing and what our mission statement is, and we keep them in front of us so that we know where we're going. And businesses do this all the time, right? You hear about a business's vision statement or their mission statement. You know, it may be printed on their cup if they're a restaurant or wherever. It's right in front. We have a vision for our physical fitness. We'll hire a trainer and they'll map out, you know, what our training schedule is going to look like, or for our financial fitness, right? We'll hire a financial planner and say, hey, make me a plan, or we'll, you know, spiritually, we'll commit to read the Bible in a year. And then there's this relationship, right? This one, where we put all of this planning and all of this vision around one day, and we get to wear the pretty dress, and he looks so handsome, and there's the yummy cake and the one crazy guest that somebody invited, and, you know, the flowers and the colors and everything. And we've got all this mission around that day. And then there's the 50 years that come after that we are kind of doing without a vision.
And many of you who've been married more than a week, I think you can agree with that. Like, who here would you say, do you have a vision or you don't? And you can say yes or no to that. Like, do you have an actual vision for your marriage of what it's going to be? And it doesn't have to be like 30 years down the road. But do you have a vision for your marriage which gets you excited for one another? You know, we got somebody, Liz raised her hand. Awesome. Thank you, Liz. Yes. Yeah. Good.
People raise their hands. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Good. Awesome.
And I love seeing that we've got people that have created this vision, because, you know, if you hope that your marriage is going to turn out a certain way, if you hope, you know, if you wish that you're going to be the cute little old couple that everybody sees, you know, on the commercials.
Yeah, I like that.
I want that to be us. But you do that without a vision, right? Oh. So, okay, one person said one day at a time.
One day at a time. Okay.
I know how that goes. Yeah. We've lived in that place.
Yeah. Cool.
Without the vision, without something so tangible and real, you stay in that reactive place. You stay in the place of I can't, because here's the thing. When we shift to I can, right, when we have that vision, then we get to shift to I can, because we know where we're going. But if we don't know where we're going, it's very easy to be like, yeah, I can't. Right? Like, I don't know what extraordinary intimacy is going to look like. I can't imagine it. So today's going to be a no. And I want you to know, we feel so strongly about vision that we actually, you all got the Power of Vision worksheets.
The planner. Yep.
Here, it's the 5-page worksheet that starts, it literally says the Power of Vision. Like this, there's five of them. I'm not going to flash them all in front of you. But what this starts to do, and I've had so many of my coaching clients use this, it's why we include it in a lot of the workshops, because this is going to actually, like, paint yourself a picture. And here's the thing, we talked about the differences in brain a little bit earlier. So if you want to make bullet points, because that's what your vision looks like,
boom, boom, boom,
make bullet points. Yeah. If you want to write yourself a story about what your vision looks like, write yourself a story. If you want to paint a picture, it doesn't matter. It's your vision, not mine.
And here's something that I would say, if you've never done this before, or you're in a place where you're like, we have it, and yet it hasn't been clarified.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this year. What's your vision for this year? That's it. And you may put some points down there, like, this is what we want to do. We want to complete a 7 days of sex challenge, or we want to make sure that we are holding hands on a daily basis, or whatever those things are that you guys can. Some of it's going to be tangible. I will say this is the interesting part about marriage, though. All right, because some of it's tangible, like we can honestly go 7 days of sex challenge, check. Others may be I want to have this fulfillment. I want to feel fulfilled in my marriage. Okay, that's a little nebulous, and so you can't really put a like 1 to 10 scale on that. Maybe it is a 10 scale, and where are you from 1 to 10?
You can't necessarily check that box. Okay?
It's a tougher one, it's a tougher one. Like in business, we can go, well, we want to do XYZ, we want to impact so many people, blah, 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 and down the road. But in marriage, it's a little different. But here's the thing, when you have it, you at least have something that you begin looking at, and you begin reading. The key is putting it somewhere where you can see it.
Absolutely. And the reason we included the Power of Vision worksheets here is because this can be the overarching vision that you have for your marriage. It can encompass all of the areas. Those of you that have had a chance to look at it, you know that some of the questions there deal with, you know, how we want to spend our time together, you know, talking about emotional intimacy. Yeah. How do we want to handle difficult conversations? How do we want to handle money? So this worksheet, and the reason why it's so important is because this is going to be the broad strokes, paint a big picture of what you want your marriage to look like. And we have to start with the big picture, because the only way to narrow this down to the mindset stuff that we're talking about around intimacy is you got to know, like, if you were to walk into a museum, you don't just look for, you know, one stroke of an artist's paintbrush. You're looking at the entire picture first, and then you get up close to see how an artist created their masterpiece.
And here's something I want to share with all of you. Whenever we're doing something new, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever we're doing something new, we can be overwhelmed, because it's like, I want to get it done and I can't. But all these other people have gotten it done and it's perfect. And yet I'm stuck because I've never done it before. Don't worry. Here's the thing I would tell you is make the effort. The effort is what matters right now. Nothing more. I have been trying to write goals, personal goals, business goals for years. And I always feel like I'm behind the eight ball, because typically they're coming, like I'm talking to my buddies and all the guys that I know, and they're like, it's time to do our goals. And it's like October, November. And they're almost set and ready for the next year, where for me to set my goals it's going to take time, because I'm looking at different areas of my life. And so last year I sort of got it started and I got a little flustered and bailed out. This year, my goal is, this is what I'm working on. I'm working on just going through this book that I have and doing it over the course of the entire year. Now, I don't know if I'm going to reach any of those goals. I'm going back and I'm reading them, but this is really what I'm setting up now, because I'm looking at them going, I'm going to do some of this. I just don't know if I'm going to reach it. But when I go into starting into 2000 or 2020, I'm going to be way ahead of the schedule, because this is all going to be done hopefully by September. And then I'm going to pick up my next book, and most of it's just going to be already written in there for 2020. So as Mel said there, one day at a time, take it one day at a time. If it's 5 minutes, Mel, make it for 5 minutes. If it's 10 minutes, do it. If you get off track for a little bit, get back on track. Tell yourself you can do it, because that's the key. That's what I've been trying to tell myself all this year already. We're in the middle of February, and I sort of got a little off track last week, but I'm like, no, I can do this. I can get up that 15 minutes early, get into my book, do the 20 minutes I've dedicated to just writing. So keep doing it. Keep going after it.
That's good. Try again. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. Sorry.
And no, I was just going to say, the only failure is not picking yourself back up, right? If you just like throw up your hand. If you get derailed, can I tell you how many times we've been derailed? Can I tell you how many 7 days of sex challenges have not been spectacular, have had all spectacular days?
No. Right? This one.
This one, for sure.
This one, we've got two for two.
Yeah.
So 2 days are 2 days have been like, woo.
Okay.
So we got three more. We're gonna finish with a bang.
Literally, we're finishing with a bang. That's just a little seven days of sex humor.
Pun intended.
But you know, we start looking at this, and I can is a process, right? None of us are going to erase all of those thoughts from our head, all of the I can'ts, I won'ts overnight. We're not going to erase the cycle of rejection that's been built up in our marriages overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking a look at what's that big vision, and then bringing it into the next thing that we're going to provide to you is the intimacy mindset planner. And so this one really, now we're taking that big picture, but we're like funneling it down into all wrapped around the intimacy mindset. And again, we're pulling vision and, you know, what's my role? Those are going to look similar to the way they do on the power of vision. But it's being very specific around what's my vision for my sexual intimacy. Literally get all your senses involved, right? When you're thinking about your intimacy and what you want that to look like, sexual intimacy is a full body experience. And you know, because when it's not there, you're like, yeah, something's missing, right? That's how you know for sure that it's full body. And it's also, it takes two to have an extraordinary sexual intimacy. Right? That's why the intimacy mindset planner talks about what's my role. And it goes back to something that Tony said earlier in this, is that, you know, it's so easy for us to point fingers at our spouse and say, well, you need to change how you think about this, or you need to change this. And the truth of the matter is that it does not matter how many times you point your finger at your spouse or you send the text or you roll over with a cold shoulder. You can only change you.
And a lot of this in your bedroom, guys, we all face it. Gosh, we all face the, oh gosh, do I have to do this? Is it like, really? We have so much going on and this is just another thing. Mm. It's changing that attitude, that mindset to going, I can do this and I want to. Mm-hmm. And really, it's the bigger vision, I think, is we get so stuck in our day-to-day that we forget how precious this life really is. We do. We think our spouse is always going to be there. And you know what? There comes a point, and I don't want to be morbid by any means, and yet I think we always think our spouse is going to be there. And yet there's going to come a time where if you continue to push them away, they may leave a lot earlier than you ever expected. Mm-hmm. We see it all the time. Or it may be that you're getting older and your spouse passes away. And I saw that happen way too early for my dad when he passed away almost 2 years ago now. And my mom, who's in her mid-60s. And so we've got to really look at how precious this relationship is. And sometimes we get so lost in our own heads, and I do as well. And then I got to remember that I am truly blessed and lucky to share this life with somebody like Lisa. And maybe you need to remind yourself of how amazing it is that you get to share your life with your spouse.
Well, and you know, as I hear you say that, I'm looking at page 2 of the Intimacy Mindset Planner, and the thing that really jumps out at me is the action step.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because I said earlier in the workshop, nothing changes until you start taking different actions. And the action steps are not like I'm going to go run a marathon in my marriage, right? Like I'm going to do the epic change. I'm going to like stop saying no all the time. No. Stop that for just a second. Think in terms of baby steps.
Yep.
Think in terms of what can I do today? What can I do this hour? What can I do right now? Do I need to just spend a little time with myself and figure out what triggers me to say I can or I won't? Do I need to, you know, start making conversation an actual priority? Somebody mentioned romance earlier. Do I need to learn different ways to romance my spouse? Maybe it's just a matter of saying, how can I romance you? Or what do you like me to do to show you that I'm romancing? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And I just want to say one other little thing with that. If you get asked that question, please don't say, I don't know. Because there's got to be something that speaks your romance language.
Yeah.
And don't say, you should know. If they knew, they wouldn't be asking. And chances are, because we know we've got people here married from, you know, practically newlyweds up until, you know, 3+ decades of marriage, you change.
Yeah.
So don't expect your spouse to know exactly what's going on in that brain of yours.
And we're different. Here at One Extraordinary Marriage and being part of the one family, we're different. We think differently than the rest of the folks out there. We know that if our spouse is coming to us and asking us this, then it means that there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we haven't connected all the dots and we need to start connecting those dots so that way we can have the extraordinary and so that way we can begin to shift.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you're going through thinking, you know, what's this vision? What's my role? Mm-hmm. What are the action steps? You know, the first action step may simply be to say, I'm going to say I can to something, right? Or I will. It could be, honey, do you want to try this position? Honey, do you want to have sex on the floor instead of on the bed? Honey, can you help me, you know, pick up around the house?
Open your eyes. This is a tough one. I'm going to share. And I mean, this is a big one for a lot of us. Like just opening your eyes during sex and looking at your spouse.
Oh, that's what you meant.
Open your eyes. Yeah, yeah. No, just open your eyes. I mean, that one could be a game changer for you. It may be something that you've just told yourself you can't do. And it's little things like that that are amazing. And it gives you so much, there's just so much joy and a fulfillment to go, you know what? I didn't think I could do that, but gosh darn it, I did it. You know what I mean?
It's all fired up.
Like, I did it. Nothing crazy happened. Nothing, like my spouse didn't freak out on me. I didn't even freak out on me. I thought I would. And hey, your spouse may have their eyes closed. I don't know. But it's an amazing experience of just being able to say, I did something that I didn't know I could.
Absolutely. And, you know, a big part of that too, and I'm glad you brought that up, is where's the accountability in that?
Mm-hmm.
Because we can put together our action steps. We can have that, you know, okay, I'm going to say I can, and I'm going to do this. But if we don't actually have accountability, then I can promise you, you are the person most likely to let yourself off the hook, right? If I don't want to go work out, I can tell myself all different kinds of ways that I don't have to work out. And if I'm not accountable to anybody else, guess what? I won't go work out. Plain and simple. And so it's building in that accountability, right? We don't change mindset without external accountability.
Yeah.
Most, I will say most, there are a few people out there that are so disciplined that they can, you know, just say, this is what I'm going to do, and they go do it. But by and large, the rest of us, we need some kind of accountability. Mm-hmm. And that's why we actually created this challenge card that you guys are going to get. There's two.
They already have it.
Oh, they already have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because you guys started that. You may not have opened it yet. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So there's the top one is for the husband. The bottom one is for the wife. And it actually says bye. And you're going to put a specific date in there. Why? Because Elisa likes dates. No. Because if you put a date in there, then it becomes real, right? You're working towards something. You know, it could be a date 1 week from now. It could be a date tomorrow. Like, you're just going to get into this and you're like, by tomorrow, I will say, you know, we will have sex with my eyes open. Mm-hmm. Right? Whatever that is. Right? And then, so it says, I challenge myself to do, and there are lines where you can bullet point, write a story, however you want to do it. Remember, I know your brains work differently.
And on this one in particular, I would use this one as more one thing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And then make multiple printouts or use a back or whatever you want to do. But this is more like, hey, I got a stack of cards now where I have 10 things on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't get like all jumbled up and all on one paper, but it's by this date, one thing, check it off, cross it out, whatever you do that allows you to go, I did this, post it, share it. For some of us, that is the social aspect of going after a challenge and completing it and sharing it. That keeps us accountable. That keeps us moving. Elisa, when she did her 1,000-mile challenge last year, walking, and I was in on part of it, but I know a lot of it was being able to show those pictures and our walk and talks together and telling people, hey, I've done 350 miles of my 1,000-mile challenge, and getting that feedback from people going like, keep going, you got this, you know? So that might be something for you.
And if it's something especially vulnerable, I just want to put this comment on social. You can be decidedly vague on social media. Hey, you know, in the next month, I'm going to do one particular thing for, you know, for my wife or for my husband. You know what it is. You can post up when you've accomplished that, but you don't have to put all the nitty gritty details.
And for those of you who are Summit Partners in Position of the Month Club, we have our private Facebook group, and many of you
there.
Are vulnerable and share there because it is private for those of us in Position of the Month Club family. So you always have us in there cheering you on, and many others who are cheering you on there who are on the same page. These are people who are on the same page for you, who want to see you succeed, who want to see you have breakthrough and overcome those things that are holding you back. So this isn't a place where you're going to come in and people are like, oh, well, that's just great. You know what I mean? It's such a great, encouraging community.
Well, and we wrap the Position of the Month Club specifically around those core values.
Yeah.
Right. We're extending hope. We're building a relationship. I know some of the couples were just flying across country and saw each other, things like that. And it's a community that takes action.
Yep.
Right. And really gets into that. And so, you know, as we're bringing this to a close, I want to make sure if you've got questions, don't hesitate to put them in there in the Q&A so that we make sure before we wrap up that we answer them.
I'm assuming we're answering your questions. I mean, we're going into this. You guys have been so awesome just being participating, sharing with us already. So loving it. But again, if you do have more questions or if you want us to answer something in that Q&A.
Absolutely. And, you know, just kind of in summary, some of these key areas that we've talked about, you know, the fact that we do have these brain differences, that some of which get hardwired from that first rush of hormones, you know, in utero through puberty and then through the declining hormones. And so we need to be aware that they exist. Right. Again, this is not, we're not a victim to our biology. We're aware of our biology. And we need to know that if we're wired differently, then that just means that we need to communicate differently. So if it's romance, if it's sexual positions, if it's, you know, sexual frequency, how do we communicate that to create a different mindset, mm-hmm. right? What can I tell myself? You know, it's like when Tony wanted to have sex every day for 60 days, and I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. But like somebody said, you know, even just talking about life and about vision, one day at a time. Well, that was my mentality around the 60 days of sex challenge. I can do one day at a time. When I decided to do the 1,000-mile challenge, I didn't look at the fact that I was going to walk 1,000 miles. That was obviously the big goal. But I looked at the calendar and I said, okay, that's about 2.5-3 miles a day. I can do 3 miles a day. I took it into those baby steps, but that's how my brain works. I had to chunk it. Mm-hmm. But then there was all kinds of stories and stuff wrapped around that, and it was about the experience for me. And so it's looking at those different things, looking at how your spouse is wired to be able to most effectively speak their language. Because just like I said, when you go to France, if you can speak some French, it's going to be a much different experience for you than expecting everybody in France to speak English and being frustrated when they don't, mm-hmm. right? You know, it's looking at not just how are we wired, but what am I telling myself? This is probably the biggest challenge that I see, specifically with coaching clients, is that there have been so many messages and so many triggers that we've just let, you know, fall dormant or just like fall into our luggage, you know, the baggage that we all have. You know, we just keep stuffing those suitcases with the I can't and the I won'ts. And we don't really pay attention to when they show up. And so, you know, I'm going to challenge each and every one of you to, you know, in these next few days, be aware. Mm-hmm. Be aware when that's like rising up inside of you. Go, okay, hold on. Lisa told me this was going to happen. Tony told me this was going to happen. What's going on right now?
And then start writing it down and get it out.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us who, me, raise my hand. I try to keep everything in my mind, try to get all my tasks in there, try to do everything in my head. I have found for myself that when I am able to get those things out, get them out, write it out, bullet point it out, whatever works for you guys, get it off of here. It's amazing what ends up happening when you start to fill yourself back up, though, with your I can see. Like, I can, that's you know, and even as you're writing your own vision for your marriage, I would even say start looking at your own personal vision statement. Mm. You know, mine has been for many, many years, I'm wise, wealthy, and live abundantly in God's glory. I am blessed. And that has been something I have shared and told myself, I think, for 10 years now. And there will be days when I don't remember it in the sense that I don't use it. But there are days when I have to, when I feel like I'm down, I'm not making the progress I want. All those I can't, the things are coming at me from all different angles, and I want to kill them. But I can say that I'm wise, I'm wealthy, and I live abundantly in God's glory. I'm blessed. And allowing myself to say that, just in writing the things that I need off of my brain and off of my mind, those two together are super powerful.
And I want to remind you to have that tug of war, to have that, or yeah. to have the rope, not to have the tug of war. I don't want you to have the tug of war. But when you are in that place where it feels like the tug of war, to actually stop and start going, okay, what are the possible solutions here? Mm-hmm. You know, instead of saying, you know, I can't have sex with the lights on. I used to say that. I can't have sex with the lights on. Could you say, you know what?
That's like the best part.
I know. Now I'm like all about daytime sex and awake sex and all that kind of stuff. But that's where I was years ago.
Yeah.
But you could say, you know, I struggle to have sex with the lights on. Could we try a salt lamp or a candle, something that's softer? We still have light in the room, but mm-hmm. it's a softer light. Instead of saying, you know, I won't try that position, could you say, you know, I'm not sure about that position. And trust me, if you've listened to the show, you've heard me talk about positions that feel like we're doing Twister.
Yeah.
And instead of saying that, can we try it, but agree without any repercussions that if it doesn't work or doesn't feel comfortable, that we'll go back to something that does.
And as you get older, those of us who are getting older,
I know but those
of you who are in like your 20s,
yeah,
there's a dip. I would say, and many of you would agree, I mean in your 20s sometimes your body just doesn't ache, you know, there are things that don't hurt. And as you start to get older, it's okay to start looking at those apparatuses that can help. Mm-hmm. There are wedges, lubes, oils, waxes, all those sort of things where you can start going, because it's never been in your bedroom before, it's okay if you bring it in because it's between the two of you. Mm-hmm. And that's an I can't mentality as well. Like, I don't want to use that. Well, how about if we do use it and it makes you feel a lot better so that way you can enjoy the sex you are having with your spouse? Mm-hmm. And hey, these are things that even I'm working through myself as I'm getting older, little more aches and pains or just different things, and just going, you know what? Why don't we just go get one of those wedges and just make it easier on us?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
One of the other I can't statements is, you know, or I don't want to schedule sex. This is actually something that we get a lot of people saying. Yeah. I don't want to schedule sex. You know, it takes all the spontaneity out. Instead, why don't you say, how do we both have scheduled times to be intimate and still keep the spontaneity and creativity?
You guys have the Intimacy Lifestyle Planner. That was mm-hmm. that was one of your bonuses. So use that planner to set up that Intimacy Lifestyle. Schedule sex. You don't have to. This isn't saying you can't be spontaneous. This is just giving you that framework as you fill out like your challenge card, you're looking at your vision. If this is something that you want to take on right now, you have it there. If it's something you want to do later, it's all good. But you have it and you can use that to your advantage to begin to put that sexual intimacy. And again, changing that mindset from, well, why we can't do that to we can do that.
And remember that, you know, some days you're going to have to tell that negative voice in your head to shut up, right? Like, you're just going to have to say, you know what? You're costing me way more than you're giving me.
Yeah.
Your attitude and your pervasiveness in my life. And I've had it, like, there have been times when I'm driving down the road, fortunately, you turn up the music, nobody, like, people just think you're singing, right? But you can tell that voice to shut up and you replace it with the I can statement. I can try a new position with my spouse. I can pick up after, you know, I can pick the laundry up over the floor. I can have a conversation about finances. I can pray with my spouse. I will do this. And all of a sudden, you start to walk literally with a confidence, with an assuredness, with a sense of being empowered in your marriage, because no longer are you like filling it with all the negative stuff that isn't getting you anywhere, but you start saying, you know what, I can do this. And it's amazing when you start to say, I can. And this is, if you get nothing else away from this time, if you start to say, I can, you're going to see breakthrough, not just in your marriage and not just in your sexual intimacy, but in actually every area of your life. You'll find yourself saying, yeah, I can do that. When somebody says, hey, could you step out and, you know, lead this group? Yeah, I can figure out how to make that happen. Can you, you know, help out with the kids? Yeah, I can, you know, I can figure out how to make that work. You start to step into this place where, because this dynamic is shifting, because this dynamic is getting stronger, you actually have the ability to go out and take that strength and that confidence into literally every aspect of your life. When we talk about going from I can't to I can, guys, this is not just one isolated little area of your life called your bedroom. The implications for being able to say I can or I will literally could change the world.
Yep.
And it starts, like, you guys are here. It's starting with you. And the ripple effect, you will see it in your families. You will see it in your communities. You will see it in everyone that you interact with, because you're going to be different and people will respond to that differently.
Yeah, and as Elisa was saying that last bit there, what popped into my head is there's an amazing video on YouTube by Pastor Stephen Furtick over there at Elevation Church. It's called I Can Handle It. Search it. Listen to it. It is absolutely amazing, because everything that comes your way, it's saying, I can handle it. Mm-hmm. And I love that for those moments and times when I have felt like there was just so much weight on my shoulders and I felt like I didn't want to, you know, get out of bed. I had gone out of bed because I love listening to that in my car, blasting it really loud. But that to me is something for someone. I think somebody here had to hear that and know that you can handle this no matter what has come your way. Also, I would say praise and worship, put on that music, get in it, get yourself in that place where it's like, okay. And if you have a spouse like mine who doesn't like loud music, you may have to do that again in your car. She just doesn't. She's the extra. So, you know, that's just even in our household, there are just times like I know listening to loud music praise and worship and stuff is, hey, I do it when Elisa's not around because that's just a difference for us. You know what I mean? But those are the two things that I really wanted to add there for you guys.
So that really wraps up the workshop, but yeah. We want to make sure that we get your question answered. So if there is something that didn't get answered, if there is something that you're like, you know, as we've just been even doing this wrap up, this summary that you're like, okay, wait, now I've got this question. Ask your question. This is the time for you. I mean, you've got the two of us. Doesn't often happen. I mean, for those of you that listen to the show, you know you're listening to us, but you don't often get to ask this question.
Right.
So this is an opportunity for you to do so. We want to make sure that if there are any questions, that we take care of you guys. Right. Yeah. This is all about that relationship aspect for us. But you know, if anything sparks something in the workshop, you know, if you've got feedback on it, whatever it is, we invite you to share that with us, because this is your time.
All right, I don't see anything coming in. So I am gonna assume, because I haven't seen anything come in, that you guys got all of it answered. That we brought something much different than we've talked about before and what many folks talk about in marriage. So I would assume that many of you need to digest this and listen to it again. In all honesty, this is a lot. From the top, you know, talking about the brain to the ICANS and the ICANN and, you know, all the different areas we went through. So don't hesitate to listen to this again, you guys. Take it together, chunk it down, look at those, the intimacy mindset planner, the challenge card, use those. Those are for you guys. Print them out. Get a regimen going once a day, once a week, whatever it's going to be for you guys. And more importantly, I would say coming out of this, get that challenge card out and put one thing on there that you want to do in the next 7 years. Put that challenge out there for you guys, and we want to hear from you guys. So we love you guys. We thank you so much for joining us. It's been awesome. Great job, you guys. Thank you. Need to listen through again. I made a comment.
Then Robert left the room halfway through.
Okay.
De La Rosa say, we have just learned so much from you guys. Always learned something and had revelations of how to implement new things. Awesome. Cool. Thank you for the challenge and the planner. We appreciate all you do for the one family. But we appreciate the one family.
Yeah, you guys are.
You guys
truly
keep
are
us. Blessed. That's from Jonathan and Michelle. You guys keep us.
And so I know this is heady. I know it's heavy. Mm-hmm. We will be getting you both audio and the video so you can listen to it, and we'll make sure that everything in that final email is put together, so you'll just have it all in one nice email. Bookmark it, do whatever you got to do, or download everything, do what you got to do, and use this not just once, but continue to come back to it. If something catches your attention, come back to it and use it.
Awesome. Liz says great work, guys.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for being here. We love you guys. We're excited to hear your breakthroughs. Don't ever hesitate to reach out to us. We want to hear those breakthroughs. For those of you who are in the Position of the Month Club, bring it in there. Share it. Let us hear your successes and your wins. If you'd like to join the Position of the Month Club, we'd love to have you. Go to positionofthemonthclub.com. Check it out. Pick a partner level, and we'll go from there. Love you guys. Take care. And we'll catch you on the next workshop, and we'll definitely catch you on the Warning for Your Marriage show. Love you guys.